is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
News for the Soul is now in its 25th year of broadcasting. Tune in live or visit the archives at newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Next on News for the Soul Radio, it's time for Perfectly Holistic with Pam. Pam is a cat mom and holistic health seeker who, after suffering an injury that wouldn't heal, was led on a journey to seek out alternative, holistic, and natural medicine. She now shares what she learned, helping people and their cats along their path to holistic health. Pam has taken courses in holistic health for animals, muscle testing, and animal communication. Please welcome Pam back to News for the Soul.
Hey there, everyone. This is Pam with Perfectly Holistic, and it is another happy Monday to everybody. I am so excited to be back here once again on the Perfectly Holistic radio show. And thank you to my beautiful producer, Nicole, who is working hard behind the scenes, bringing this show to fruition for everybody. I have some wonderful special guests I want to bring on tonight. They are so amazing that I hired them. So these are two of our team members with Perfectly Holistic, and I'm excited to introduce them. So Lori Diebold and Nina Glasgow, I'm so happy to have you join me tonight. Lori is our Reiki master and Akashic record and angel reading and past life, that's right, past life healing. And Nina does animal communication and Akashic records for pets, and she has a bunch of other talents as well we're going to explore. So anyway, ladies, you are welcome to also look at the comments on the right side of your screen. If you just click the comment tab, you can actually see people's comments as we go. And feel free, you know, we'll be maybe even answering some questions or comments as we go tonight. So first of all, Lori, why don't you just tell people just briefly about you and how you got started into your journey with, you know, what you're doing.
Okay, great. Well, hello everybody. I'm Lori, and I'm a Reiki master teacher, energy healer, and intuitive. I've been offering healing sessions for probably over about 10 years. I offer healing sessions to both animals and humans, and really my goal is to help give the animal or human relief of any symptoms such as emotional, physical, or mental, anything like that that they're having. How I got into stuff like this truly is I have always loved animals. I think as soon as I came out of the womb, I loved animals. Mm-hmm. And at a very young age, I started taking in wounded animals and started taking in animals. And then for many, many years in my life, I fostered cats. And I just always, ever since I was young, it was like I could sense their energy. Mm-hmm. I could sense their pain. Mm-hmm. And it was like I knew when they were hurting or I knew when they were upset or they didn't like what was going on. And it didn't seem like people around me did, but I did. And so secretively, I always wanted to be Dr. Doolittle. One day I saw a YouTube video where a woman was speaking with a lion. And after that, I started taking animal communication and Reiki and just many different modalities that led me down this path where I am so interconnected with animals. And it's just made me even a better person and just more grounded and able to connect with animals on a much more personal level.
That's awesome. And yeah, Nina's over here nodding her head going, oh yeah. So Nina, thank you. And this is your first time on our radio show, and I am thrilled to have you on our team. And you are so talented. You have I don't even think you really appreciate how talented I feel you are. So tell our viewers and listeners tonight just a little bit about you and how you got onto this path.
I really appreciate being on this program. It's forcing me to open myself up more. And so this is a great learning experience for me. I got on this path because I've always loved animals, specifically horses, and I always wanted to ride horses.
Mm.
When horses get hurt, they need to be doctors, so I learned a lot of modalities, healing modalities like maleofacial release, equine touch, and you can use equine touch for dogs and for cats, orthobiotomy, and those kinds of physical things led me also to the emotional, the energetic components of healing, and I quickly saw that horses are very emotional animals, as are cats, as are dogs. So they can carry the same kind of traumas that we have. And horses being prey animals have a different kind of reaction than cats and dogs, but still they can carry their emotional baggage, and so which can manifest as physical issues too. So I was getting into that. Then I had a horse that I thought was going to be my ticket to learning how to ride, to being really a good rider. And her name was Angelica. She was, for me, it was an expensive horse. Almost immediately when I got the horse, she got hurt, which means her riding career was over.
Mm.
So I bred her, and she had, you know, some babies. Well, there was one horse named Rafik that had so much potential, and I just thought, you know, here's my ticket. It'll all be great, except it wasn't great. It was not great at all. This was like probably 10 years of the most difficult time of my life. And, you know, like, I'm old, okay? So it was a hard journey. And I consulted some communicators to see what was going on. And so that's how I got into communication, by seeing, you know, what communicators said. And, you know, there were three individuals. They're all highly reputable. The first one was a guy named Bill Northern. I think he's still around. And, first when we were doing the session, he said, "Are you sure you want to do this?"
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Yes, sure." And then he proceeded, like, he used a pendulum,
mm-hmm.
and a shape of the horse, and he showed me where the horse was sore.
Yeah.
And he said he's pretty sore. And basically the horse had a lot of complaints about how I rode. My husband was very upset, like, he shouldn't be telling me that. And I said, "No, it's true. And so that started to give me one perspective. And then I went to another woman, and the horse at that time was being tried out by someone who was more of a novice than me, or at least I considered it so. And I asked her, I said, "Why is this horse behaving better with her than with me?" And then the horse told her, "Well, she has three small children." In other words, the horse didn't want to get her hurt. In other words, the horse was trying to protect her. And, like, he had less regard about protecting me, or that was my impression, than her. Okay? And then I said, "Well, tell him I love him like a son." And then the horse told her, "Well, you didn't send your son away." The horse was in San Antonio. I'm in Boston. So she ultimately didn't buy the horse because, you know, she had a reason. So
yeah.
Then I had another friend who was to communicate, and she said the message that she heard when she was riding the horse was, "It's fun not to comply." And she knew that was his wording. He was a very smart horse. And she also had images of a little boy with dark hair, who was my son. I kept going in and out. So this horse was mirroring a lot of things. You know, my frustration, my relationship, a lot of things. And, you know, ultimately it got ironed out. The horse is in California. And actually my son is successful. He is in California. He's a lawyer in California. But it was like a long haul. And so I learned about communication. I started taking classes.
Mm-hmm.
After having taken the classes, it's been also an evolution. Before, when I would speak to an animal, it was more like a dialogue, and you get a personality sense. And now I'm seeing more things like the dynamics between people, and I have never heard an animal like snark on its owner. I have never heard anything negative from animals, never. But you can sometimes see that, you know, an animal is reflecting something that is off in the situation. And then if it's appropriate, you know, I will say something is appropriate, you know, some energy can be sent or, you know, something can be changed perhaps in the animal's behavior. Anyway, I'm rattling on. So these are the kind of things that I find satisfying is, for me, I think probably like Lori, we don't really like to be in front of people. We're much more comfortable being, you know, behind the scenes or talking to someone. It's like it's safer for us. sorry, I don't want to shoot my neuroses, but so animal communication can be very, very rewarding if I feel like I'm making a difference, if I feel like I'm helping someone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all very, very fun. Yeah.
I totally agree. I totally agree. It's so interesting what our pets will share with us when we are open to hearing and stuff. So one of the things I wanted to ask you guys was, and we kind of touched on that, is how you first came to truly connect and what impact that has had on your life. Obviously, you guys are now involved in careers that are in service to others with animals. Talk briefly, we'll start with Lori, like what do you feel like out of all the services, and maybe there's more than one, is there something that stands out in particular that it's allowed you to really connect on a deeper level with pets? And, you know, which one of those has had the deepest impact on you in your life where you are right now?
I would have to definitely say Reiki, because to me, Reiki is so powerful in my experience.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I'm able to connect with an animal, I have the ability to connect with their chakras and look into their chakras and see where their imbalances are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm able to even get emotions. And sometimes I get visions of where this trapped emotion of fear, anxiety, you know, has even originated from. And so that is how just Reiki, even when I'm giving an animal Reiki, they'll start talking to me at times, not
mm-hmm.
always, but at times. And so it just seems to be my go-to that just kind of really helps solidify and help the animal in so many ways, because I don't just do Reiki. It's just, I'm one of the ones that kind of mixes things. And
yes.
So I actually end up doing cord cuttings, and,
mm-hmm.
and it's very important to cut cords between the owner, the pet owner, and the pet. Because as Nina was kind of mentioning, that the pet will at times take on the owner's energy,
mm-hmm.
mirror the owner. And so I may do a session on an animal Reiki, and then suddenly it's like the fears and anxieties and feeling unlovable is kind of like coming from the pet parents.
Right.
And so a lot of that happens a lot of times, and so it's really good to release the energy, let the animal know they don't have to take on their owner's energy,
right?
And cut the cords between them. But I do also, the past life healings have been very, very powerful as well, but I still, the Reiki is just my go-to, and I do use tuning as well at the end of Reiki, because it really clears the energy really powerfully.
We have a good question here in our comments. What is Reiki? Can you describe or explain what Reiki is and how you do it remotely?
Okay. Reiki is a modality where healing energy is flowing through. I know it's funny to try to explain Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
Reiki, but it's a healing modality where healing energy is flowing through the practitioner to the recipient. It helps to clear all imbalanced energies, or not all, but it helps to clear anxiety, fears, any kind of physical, mental, or emotional symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And how I do it remotely is, they taught Reiki, I call the energy of the animal into my room, literally, and I will either have a healing bed, which I do, and I will use a surrogate,
mm-hmm.
and I will call the animal in the animal's energy into the surrogate, and I cannot believe it's true that I can feel and get emotion from, you know, attract emotion from each and every chakra and still get that from distance. So that's how I do it. I connect them, call their energy into their to a surrogate in my room, and then I send it back when I'm done.
Right. And with Reiki, it's all about getting that energy flowing and opening the chakras so that there's not blocks, there's not stuck energy anymore. So I always describe your Reiki as Reiki on steroids, because you do pull in so many other talents that you've learned, you know, and things that you hear and other things that you sense. And you were cutting out just a second ago, but you were starting to say how you use tuning forks at the end of your session. So tell people what tuning forks are, because that's very different and very cool.
Yeah, tuning forks is, it's really, I learned that from a color and sound class. And the tuning forks really help clear energy. I have two tuning forks, and I literally just, I'm able to go to each chakra and just clear it. The tuning forks is sound. And
okay.
So that's what I'm using. So it's sound healing is really what it is. And I'm using that at each chakra for an animal after I do the Reiki. It just really helps just remove any heavy energy if they have something very heavy. So I do that as well, just to kind of just even bring in a deeper healing.
Right.
Deeper releases as well, the energy that gets trapped.
No, that's very cool. That's very important to remember, because vibrational frequencies are very powerful, and you can match those, and it can raise vibrational frequency of the recipient, you know. So I love the sound aspect, because it can be very powerful. We have a question over here who says, how do you know when you are able to communicate with the animals? I have a deep bond with my cats and instinctively know when something is up with them. I call it my kitty senses tingling. So how did you guys learn? Obviously, Lori and I took animal communication classes together, so that was the most fun thing. And Nina, in fact, we all took from we had the same coaches, which was great, the Lightfoot way. So, yeah, Nina, do you want to share, how you guys communicate with the animals?
Well, you know, in her situation, the lady who's asked, or the Facebook user who's asking, I think that is the most profound way of communicating when you're connected. It's like an intuitive sense, you know, when the kitty cat's off, you know, when the cat wants something, the cat is expressing itself. My experience is that cats can be very mysterious. They're not nearly, you know, this is my opinion, they don't always, offer all the information. They're mysterious. They can withhold if they're feeling vulnerable. She has a very strong relationship with her cat. And so it's just, she's communicating on that level. If she would start, if she's talking to the cat is absolutely knowing what she is saying. So she is already communicating, is my opinion.
And there's different ways of having that communication. There's mm-hmm. claircognizance, there's clairvoyance, there's clairsentience. Mm-hmm. So claircognizance is just kind of a knowing. You get these downloads, this sense of knowing in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Some people see clairvoyance. They can see things like vision. They can see. Would you guys consider clairvoyance like seeing words, or would you say that's claircognizance?
I would say that's clairvoyance, is seeing things. Claircognizance is like where you
just
have
knowing.
To just know.
Yeah.
What I do is I hear, like, I'll
you hear
for communication.
Clairaudience.
I look at piece, like a photo of the animal. I kind of tune in, close my eyes, and I'll just start to hear things. It can be a dialogue.
Mm.
Often that will lead to channeling, which is really interesting because you can get additional information from guides. And you know,
mm-hmm.
I feel like it brings me closer to source, which is, I think, why I like animal communication so much, because it's a spiritual practice.
It truly is. It truly is. So I wanted to go back to, obviously, Nina, it's obviously had a big impact on your life. So I'm guessing, based on what you just said, animal communication sounds like it's probably the most favored of the, or do you have a favorite type of service or practice that you like more?
No, animal communication is my favorite because sometimes it can be very fun, like very hilarious. I love energy healing. I love Reiki. I love connecting to any kind of field and getting information which can be used. There's some other modalities like body code and emotion code where you can get information.
Mm-hmm.
And I consider all of these modalities like fields of information that you can be attuned to them, you can be initiated, and you can get information that can be helpful. And but I think animal communication is probably my favorite. Akashic records is also, I like the Akashic records because I feel like you get information that is, I don't want to use the word global, but more, it's more like, it's spiritual, so it's like the big picture, like, of course, you know, you're experiencing this because it's like your spiritual growth or something. It's a different vibe. Laurie said that I learned Akashic Records from Linda Howe, so that's the method I do. It was a pathway prayer. Everybody can do it. Anybody in this audience can do it. You get the pathway prayer, it's online. And then you can feel kind of an energetic shift. It's kind of like peaceful. And then you can just ask questions. You can dialogue. So there's the lords of the Akashic records, who are basically the keepers of the records. The masters, who are like people like Jesus, people who actually live, who are masters. Teachers, who are, maybe I'm getting things mixed up. The teachers and the loved ones who are like people who are deceased are loved ones. So people can, or entities can come in and give information. And you can get some really interesting information, like also in past lives and so forth. On the past thing, which is kind of interesting to me, you know, I never get really like how it felt to be, a person like living 300 years ago, because it's the reality of life in the 300 years ago is going to be, I can't totally relate to how it felt to be, like, for example, their cat was with them or their dog was with them, and it can give people a new perspective on why their pet is with them.
Before we move into past lives, let's talk a little bit more about Akashic Records. Some people have never heard of that term before. Can you guys, Lord, can you talk about what exactly is the Akashic Records? And you're muted, by the way. There we go. Yeah, let's tell people, what are the Akashic Records exactly?
I sure will. I just want to apologize. I only put myself on mute because, hey, we're live, and my alarm system in the room I'm in, let's see, it's the battery is going, it's probably from all this energy, the battery's going, so it keeps every minute, so that's why I've been doing that, to be polite.
That's okay.
So if you see me mute, it's why.
Okay,
so,
no worries.
So to explain past life healing,
Akashic Records. The Akashic Records.
Oh.
Tell people what the Akashic Records are. Yeah.
Okay. So Akashic Records, and it's funny because I do the same thing as Nina does. I taught by the same person. Everything that she, so everything she's saying, I can.
You were nodding your head like,
I do everything she says because there is a pathway prayer that I do, and it's going into the records with the master's teachers, and I want to ask you a question. It is actually, you can ask questions with things that are going on with this lifetime, which a lot of times my clients, animals and humans, I find that it's a lot of the energies they've brought from a past lifetime mm-hmm. to this lifetime, and mm-hmm. it's coming up now to be healed.
Yeah.
And so you can get information from different symptoms that are happening now in your life that mm-hmm. has to do with past lives, or with Akashic Records, it can also be a healing that can be done for this lifetime and mm-hmm. what is going on now as your experiences that are creating havoc on your life, you can ask questions and get help.
So yes.
That's how I do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then let's talk about past life healing. Tell people what past life healings are, whoever wants to go.
I'll talk real briefly about that. My past life healings, I was actually taught from the angels and the ascended masters taught me how to do my past life healings. Mm. But what I do is I speak to a pet parent or to a human and find out exactly what symptoms they're having, or if they have blocks or, mm-hmm. or anything energetically, if they're depressed or whatever it is. And I hear about what's going on with them or the animal. And then I'm able to tap into a past life that is most prevalent to what they're going through
mm-hmm.
now. And
mm-hmm.
then there's a beautiful healing that takes place with the animal. I do both distance, but with the animal, I do it using a surrogate. But with the human, I'm usually on the phone about an hour and a half. And
yeah.
they get a copy of the actual, I have it videotaped. But yes, it is really clearing energy that you brought from a past lifetime mm. into this lifetime.
That's affecting and them so in some way.
It's affecting them in this
yes.
lifetime. So the healing takes place, but we all have soul parts that have experienced other lifetimes. That is what's coming up now to be healed in this lifetime.
Mm.
And so that's the soul part, how I explain it.
Yeah.
The soul part that's being healed. And that's how I explain it.
Yes. Nina, do you want to add anything to that?
No,
for past life?
It's absolutely true. I think it's all, you can see a shamanic bent in all of this. When people go, when practitioners are able to go into different realms and bring back information that will heal, their clients, their loved ones, animals,
mm-hmm.
it's shamanic in nature. And that's, also changing the narrative, you have timelines and things can be changed. It
mm-hmm.
doesn't have to be the same timeline. I agree with what Lori is saying.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes down to it, it's all about energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about energy, and it's this connection. I like to describe energy like the spider web because it goes and connects to everything. Energy connects everything, and it's not limited by time or distance. So that's what makes us able to go back and do Akashic Record reading and past life healing and animal communication and Reiki in present time. And it's all about it sounds like it's all about setting your intention when you're going
yeah.
into other things. It is about setting that intention of what you want to tap into,
right.
which is fascinating. And then let me go back. I wanted to just check and see, make sure we got some, I don't miss some things I want to cover. Now, over here in the comments, somebody asked, I think Madison was asked, can anyone learn how to communicate with animals or do you need a special gift? Ladies?
Yes, anyone can learn. And everyone is going to bring their own special gifts to the process.
Mm-hmm.
So, for me, I hear.
Mm-hmm.
But also sometimes now my gifts are starting to accelerate or develop, let's put it that way. Absolutely everyone can learn animal communication. It just takes intention,
mm-hmm.
a willingness. And then it's also like suspending belief. Like, oh, I can do this. If this is happening, this is real. in the class that we did with Tim for the Lightfoot Way, the first time that I communicated, they asked a question to communicate with a dog. This was with Allison's dog. And so I started writing. They said, just start writing what the dog is saying. And so I started writing stuff, and it was just like, okay, I'm just writing stuff. And there was a phrase that the dog was, kind of moaning or sad. I'm not the golden boy. The other dog is the golden boy. He calls the dog, like the golden one, the special one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it was so neat because there was a confirmation. Allison said that's what her husband said, called the other dog. And the dog was feeling, he laughs last.
Laughs loudest, yes.
That dog. Ended up being the top dog of the whole situation, so it's all good. But in answer to if I can learn it, anybody can learn it. Anyway, I'll just put it like that.
I agree, and I feel like number one, you have to be open minded because you have to have that. You have to drop the limiting belief that we can't. So you have to be open minded, and I know for a lot of people. It's hard to make that transition from busy mind to being able to just focus and clear your thoughts and be that vessel, that open receptive vessel. But that's some of the techniques that we learn when taking an animal communication class or courses. They give us techniques to tap into that ability and ways that help us strengthen that, I'm going to call it muscle, because it's like a muscle. The more you do it, it gets stronger. That ability gets stronger and stronger. That intuition grows. And we all have the ability to do it. We just have been, I'm going to say, dumbed down in society, it's kind of
that's
been shooed, that's just ridiculous, and whatever, poo-poo, that idea or that concept or whatever, but go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Yeah, I think that the thing is that we're all spiritual beings, and I think that is something that we forget.
Yes.
Maybe I'm getting too deep, but it's like
no.
We forget that we're spiritual. We come here in this human body for this lifetime, and when we transition out of this human body, we're back spirit, which is really the core of who we are, which we communicate telepathically easily, and that's who we are.
Yes.
And that's why it's to remember that. Remembering that helps.
No, it's true because, from childhood, once we go back into a school setting or we start school, we're trained to think a certain way. And it's not using intuition. Learning and memorizing and regurgitating, for the most part. It's not really critically thinking in a lot of educational settings, but we're not taught telepathy. We're not taught how to tap into intuition. We're not taught how to do these things, but yet we have the ability, and we're only using 10% of our brains. What does that tell you? We just have to learn to tap into that other portion of the brain, the right side of the brain, instead of the left side, which is the logical. We have to go to the right side of the brain, which is that intuitive side, that creative side, because that's where you really develop the skills. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I think we're discouraged in the educational system. I'm not going to bash the educational system because I'm a product, but I think we're discouraged from being right brain. I think it's just left brain, memorize fast, move along. And as you say, developing the creative side, the right brain, is so, and that's been really good for me because I actually consider myself a left brain person. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why I'm also drawn to it is like giving you a chance to explore a different part of me, which is, it's like it's certainly the most fun part. And you're hearing messages, I just love it. When you go in the universe, we'll give you these information like, oh, wow, that's so cool. Hearing that stuff. So it's kind of like a trip. I like that.
Absolutely. So let's talk about ways that we can use things like Reiki and animal communication and past life healing, Akashic records. How has that been able, and you guys are welcome to share stories, examples of how we can use these amazing techniques and abilities to connect with our pets on a deeper level. Because I really, truly believe that that's, number one, that's how the three of us got into doing what we're doing. And we're all working with pets now, which is incredible, you know. But it's being able to tap into that intuition and then tapping into that, the heart of that pet, and finding that resonance, you know, and that ability to bring life and healing and energy and all these great insights. So share away. Who wants to go first? Like, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I'll go first. I think, and I apologize if you hear my thing going off, but I, the biggest thing is when you learn to connect on these different levels and you're able to bring through information, it really helps the pet parents, you know, or the human, but it mm-hmm. helps the pet parent in understanding their animal more clearly. I have found it actually helps build a deeper relationship with them as well mm-hmm. when they're understanding what the animal is thinking or what they're upset about. They get a greater understanding or what is bringing this stress, this anxiety.
Yeah.
Even had one just the other day, a dog that wouldn't come through the door. Like, she kept calling the dog and it wouldn't come. And I said, I'm getting visions of you slamming the door. Maybe you kind of yell because you're getting mad because the dog's not listening. And she said, yeah, I do that. And I said, well, that's why the dog's not coming anymore. And it was like after, and this was during a Reiki session. And after that, it was like she literally sent me an email with she is getting into crawling into bed with me now, and she's never done this after your session. And she said she's more loving, wants to be petted. Aww. And so it's just something as simple. That already, that session is creating a deeper bond between the two of them, and her mm-hmm. having the understanding that the dog didn't want to come through the door. She was yelling and slamming the door and scaring the dog. Mm-hmm. So something mm-hmm. as simple as that just shows you how it can, you know, can really help change your relationship by an energy healing.
No, exactly. And it's also great because it puts a spotlight on us as pet owners. Like, what are we doing to hinder our relationships that we don't even know? You know, we're not aware. So I think it's awesome because it brings awareness to the pet parent. Like, uh-oh, I'm the problem. A lot of times. And we don't even know it, you know? So, Nina, go ahead.
No, it's true. I was thinking about Lori. It's helping... like when you open your heart, the heart chakra, horses respond to that, and they have a huge energy field in their heart. That's why they can be used for therapy animals.
Mm-hmm.
It's also why horses and children can get along so well. You'll find a horse that's a babysitter, a big old horse. Like, horses don't like it when you're in your head, you know, when you're here, and it's like too predatory for them. They like it when you're in your heart or in your gut. So it's a way of teaching myself and also other people, if it comes up, you know, how a way of being. I also use Reiki. My way of doing Reiki is different from Lori's. It's but it's, you know, it's, I've also had profound results, oftentimes physical results with using Reiki. I think mm-hmm. it's a wonderful modality. I'm also drawn to channeling for information. Is that something that you like to do, Lori? It seems like it's something that happens in your sessions too. When you get that information, and so it's coming from somewhere, you know?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. The information, it can come from guides, it can come mm-hmm. from the animal itself. It's mm-hmm. But I do believe we're being led to bring through the information that is most prevalent
mm-hmm.
and most important for the pet owner to know. And I think it's just brought through however it's supposed to. Like you said, opening your heart, and I really believe in that. It's opening your heart and being willing just to receive. And that really helps with bringing through information that's going to be loving and compassionate to help the pet owner.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Nina, do you have any stories that you would like to share?
The other thing, today, a friend was asking me to check in with her cat. She was, this is a special cat. His name is James, and he was like kind of an orphan cat. She had to nurse him with a little bottle and all
yeah.
that. She had a nursing cat that would not take, and so she considers James special, and I'm going to agree with her. And so she said to ask James about portals, and so I started to ask James about portals, and he said, why don't you just ask me how I am today first? And so I said, okay, how are you, James? He took control of the situation. How are you? I asked him how I am today, and I said, okay, how are you? And he said, I want to move. I want Heidi to move, at my friend. And I said, oh? And he said, they're going to sell the house soon. And I said, okay. So I gave Heidi that information.
Yeah.
Very valuable. When you know ahead of time, you get a heads up.
Yeah.
All of that was true because her mother is not doing well. She's in a different place. And so there's going to be some kind of action taken on the house that she's in. And so I thought this was, very cool because I love it when I can be of help. And I love that the cat put me in line with what I thought about that. Let's talk about what was important, what was relevant.
Mm-hmm.
But he also did say that he had been a spirit guide for my friend and different, when he had passed, and he intended to be a spirit guide again and after he passes. So it was encouragement for my friend.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Lori?
Well, it came today, and I thought, because I have not a very good memory. Your secrets are safe with me. That's quite a story. Okay, that's my story for the day.
Yeah, absolutely. Lori, tell me more.
I had a beautiful story I wanted to share, too. There was a gentleman that he thought that his dog was going to pass away. He wasn't sure what was wrong with it. It was hiding under the bed, and it did have breathing issues. It was older, and there was some health issues. And but he thought, last ditch effort, I'll try this Reiki thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that after it was 20 minutes after the session, the dog came up from the bed and started eating normally. Within 24 hours, the dog was breathing normally again.
Huh.
Now, part of the thing was, I feel very strongly, and it definitely gave the dog a little bit of a longer life, but mm-hmm. the thing was that the dog wanted to talk. The dog wanted its owner to listen to him, yeah. to do some things, some guidance that was given.
Yeah.
And so you can see that once that dog got that off his chest and had the opportunity to talk, it was like, oh, somebody's listening to me. And and it was just for us to be that voice for the
yes.
animal. It's
right.
such a gift, and it's so humbling to me to be able to do that. It's so humbling. And I wanted to tell a very brief other, had a cat who was ingesting everything, just always eating things, and even I think might have had surgery. And then after the session, I think up until this day it hasn't eaten anything, but maybe once in a while it might chew on something here
mm-hmm.
if it gets triggered or upset
mm-hmm.
emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
But that to me, is just beautiful and amazing. That's a healing session to clear the energy and to let the animal speak can really help. And I think that was actually a past life healing, but
yes,
on the cat.
I know that cat.
Yes, and it was amazing that the cat is doing so much better just after getting the past life healing.
Unbelievable. And the cat's role and the parent, they were so connected in past lives. Like
very
there was
much so.
Very much so. And he,
yeah.
I can't remember the exact term that I wanted to call that. Was it, how would you describe their previous relationship? Were they, he was a guide for her, he was,
he was like a
protector? Wasn't he a protector?
Yeah. I think he was.
He viewed himself as a protector. And
but,
the weird thing was it was a dog. Yes. Yes.
That was the thing that was crazy. When I went back to the past lifetime for this cat that was eating and ingesting things all the time,
mm-hmm.
it was a dog that was tied up, that was beaten all the time, and sometimes it would be fed a paper, like sleep with a paper plate. It would eat it, and then the owner thought it was so funny that it was so cruel. And so all of these anxieties and always and starving to death. And
mm-hmm.
so this particular cat brought these energies to this lifetime to be healed is why.
Mm-hmm.
Because I truly believe things do not surface unless they are meant to be healed, in
right.
my opinion. And yeah.
Holy.
And things cannot be healed unless they are seen.
Exactly.
And so they surface. So that was beautiful, that seeing that cat as a dog, and I'm like, oh, wow, this just totally makes sense.
It totally made sense, given the whole the current situation that they were dealing with. It was so incredible. We have a comment over here. So Laura Lee says, yesterday when I had to make the decision about Prudence, I asked her what she wanted, and I swear I saw the character from The Green Mile when he says, I'm tired, boss. And I knew right then I knew what I needed to do. That's exactly, the cat is showing you exactly. That's the message. Totally. Yes. Laura Lee, you are gifted beyond, you just don't even know. You're right on track.
Yeah. And kudos for you to be so connected with your beautiful, beloved animal that
mm-hmm.
you knew and that you sensed, then that your animal gave you that. I believe your animal gave you that vision.
Yeah.
And how awesome to be so connected and such a place of love that you heard exactly what your animal wanted. So
yes.
that is just beautiful. That's
mm-hmm.
a beautiful story.
And then she says, how do you keep your emotions in check? I cry at Hallmark movies, so I would bawl if I was communicating with a sick animal. You know, I cry at everything too, but there is something different about being a conduit from our perspective. It's well, you guys explain. You know what I'm saying. How do you describe that, or how would you answer that or comment on how do you keep your emotions in check? How do you be objective when it is objective? How are we able to be objective in our roles without being overcome with emotion when we're dealing with?
If you're seeing your doctor, you're not going to feel if the doctor starts crying when they're treating you, you're still bad. So it's like, being able to help someone doesn't mean that you have to jump into the hole
right.
and have like a rope to pull them out. And so like by doing the clearings, like let's say fear in the kidneys, for example,
mm-hmm.
you identify that, I'm thinking about a horse that was peeing blood because it was afraid. It had, its owner
mm-hmm.
was away and so it was afraid. So clear that, and I told the owner the next time you leave, be sure to communicate with the horse that you're going so the horse knows. So I think the rewards are more than, I don't have that problem. If I'm seeing a situation, I try to remedy it if I can.
Mm-hmm.
I ask permission. If I can, if it's supposed to be something that I can get involved with, I can. I have asked animals before, do you want me to get involved with this? Sometimes they will say no.
Mm.
Sometimes they will say, come back and check me later. You know, they have to have, they're being heard, and so I try to listen to them rather than just like, I try to respect boundaries too.
Right.
Doing that kind of stuff.
Lori, how do you become,
and
how
I
do
think
you say?
It's also where you,
go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Where you check yourself at the door type thing also.
Mm-hmm.
And because if you, how it feels if you are, let's say, really sad and, oh, poor animal, you're looking at it, you're almost looking at the animal giving that energy that it's weak and that it's sick. And I've always been taught you look at an animal in its wholeness. You see it and it's, you see it healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the energy when you do the healing, you see it that way. And also, I just have a very personal, deep understanding, or at least my thoughts, that we all come here to Earth to experience certain things. And some animals, maybe, I don't want to say it, but it's, that's how I feel, is that they are here to experience. It could be an illness.
Mm-hmm.
And but I'm here to offer healing. And I have seen and been involved in miracles that have happened when I've offered, or let's say, Source or whoever brought the energy through and chose, the animal chose it was time to go ahead and heal and have a miracle, then that
mm-hmm.
happened. But and so that's how you step back and say, I'm here for that beautiful animal. It's already whole and well, and whatever is meant to be, I'm the conduit, and I just allow with love and grace.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that,
mm-hmm.
if you just know the best outcome is going to be, and if the animal's supposed to pass or cross, I know that they're blessed and that that is what was meant to be, and I'm grateful that they were here on Earth, I'm sure. That's
absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And in the work that I do, I have to come in. My intention is always for the animal's highest and best good. You know,
mm-hmm.
so that's always like a standard mm-hmm. intention for me. And it's much easier working on someone else's pet because we don't have that emotional bond,
yeah,
you know,
true.
Because we are not the family members. So it is,
mm-hmm.
it's harder to work on our own pets objectively sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I think it just takes practice, you know, putting that, like you said, okay, I'm stepping out, I'm the doctor hat now versus
mm-hmm.
I'm the pet parent hat now, you know, and you have to just learn to be objective when it's your own baby, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it goes back to that. I'm sorry, Aileen's coming in. That intention, you know, and we are here to serve. We are here to be that conduit, to be serving in that pet's highest and best good, whatever the outcome, you know, that's not up to us. We're just here to do the best we can with the pet at the time, with the, you know, in see what we can do to bring healing and bring resolution and bring connection and understanding. Perspective, I would say, is a big part of that as well. And just awareness, like we were talking about, like so many times we get in the way and we don't even realize it, you know, or things that we're doing are contributing to that disresonance, what I call disresonance. It's getting in the way of that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the pet parent is heard and the animal is heard. I think that's the ideal ideal balance and outcome. When both of them are heard and hopefully get answers or release. You know, I think that's yes.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it almost heal just by giving an animal, or and I'm sure just you even animal communication on some level, and then or me giving a healing. At some level, it's like they both heal. It's just amazing how just getting that information, it will actually help. Because just basically, you can have a pet parent that is so, let's say, stressed every day, upset about this animal. They're carrying
mm-hmm.
a lot of, the pet parent may be fear or anxiety about something.
Mm-hmm.
When the information comes through, then suddenly they're like, oh, okay, and they're back in their heart. They're not worried anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, and they feel good and relaxed, and that's what we want for everyone.
Yeah.
They're not worried anymore. So it's helpful.
Absolutely. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, any final thoughts before we wrap up tonight? This has been so much fun, and I love getting you guys' perspective because you're such talented, amazing, intuitive people. Any final thoughts? Like, where would you recommend people go if they want to learn more about animal communication or to learn animal communication or to learn about past life healing and doing learning Reiki? Any tips or final suggestions before we close?
I think definitely in-person Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
I would not, that's just my opinion again, mm-hmm. is not to take a Reiki class online. I would take the class in person would be the first step, and animal communication can definitely be done, as we all three know,
yeah.
can be done very successfully
with
a teacher that spends a day with you over the Zoom or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's very successful.
I agree with Lori on both of those assessments that the Reiki attunements are important to have in person, or, you know, I think more meaningful, better, stronger, whatever you want to say. And it takes a while for Reiki to kind of, like, get into your system, you know, or, you know, it's not like bam, bam, bam. I think, so I'm agreeing with Lori, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's some great resources online. You can check out the lightfootway.com. That's who we all learned our animal communication from. And I don't know where you guys studied your past life healings or your Akashic record training, but I can find out from you and I can put them in the notes
mm-hmm.
after the show in case people want to go learn more about that. But if you guys want to do a session with one of our beautiful ladies here at Perfectly Holistic, we do offer their remote services. So I will put that in the show notes as well, so you can go check those out. I'm telling you, you will not be sad. The results are incredible, and you will be so pleased, and you will have a deeper connection with your cat or your dog or your horse or whatever pet you have. It is truly, truly incredible. So, ladies, thank you so much for taking the time to chat tonight and just helping educate our listeners and our viewers about these amazing ways that we can deepen the connection with our pets and our cats. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we will be back next month with a pet celebrity roundtable from Super Zoo in Las Vegas. And until then, if you have questions, you can reach me at pam@perfectlyholistic.com. Do check out the website at perfectlyholistic.com, and that is P-U-R-R-R, perfectlyholistic.com. And until then, thank you guys. Have a beautiful rest of your evening, and we will talk to you soon.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Soul is now in its 25th year of broadcasting. Tune in live or visit the archives at newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com.